Jesus 100% God. Now, Tracy, watch, you're going to get ahead of me. Jesus was absolutely 100% God and 100% human. Now, some of you might say, how in the world could that be? That he could be 100% God, but yet 100% human. That's 200%. Well, I can't explain it, but I can stand for it and believe it because the Bible teaches it. You see, Jesus was 100% God and 100% human at the same time. Now, at times he chose to limit his divinity, if you will, or in his power. Because we remember, even on this night, as we remember what he did, he could have come off the cross. He could have called, as the song says, 10,000 angels. The Bible mentions legions of angels, right? Could have called them to get him off the cross, to stop everything that was happening. But he didn't. But as 100% human, do you think Jesus felt pain like you and I feel pain today? How about physical pain? Do you think he felt physical pain? Absolutely. But you know, one thing that I think may not be stressed quite enough is the emotional pain of Jesus. Now, if he was 100% human, he not only felt the physical pain of the cross, but he also felt the emotional pain of the cross. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not taking anything away from the pain that he went through physically. But I don't know about you. If I had the choice between some things that have been said to me in ministry or someone just smacking me upside the head, I'd take smack me upside the head or punch me in the nose any day over some of the harsh and mean words that people can say. Would you agree with that? You know, people sometimes say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'm not sure who came up with that, but I think it's totally backwards. Words really hurt us, and our emotions get hurt more than I think our physical sometimes, right? I mean, I can take a hammer and start to drive a nail and hit my thumb, and it hurts for a little bit. It might turn blue. I might lose a nail. You know, we have ailments and pains that we might have. The doctor might say you got this condition with, we may be in a car wreck and all that, but I really believe in a lot of ways the emotional pain that we go through hurts worse than the physical pain. The title of the message tonight is The Emotional Wounds of Jesus. The Emotional Wounds of Jesus. Now we're specifically looking at Matthew's account of the crucifixion and the things that led up to the crucifixion. But first of all, point number one, I don't want to overlook the physical wounds of Jesus as well. So we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at that, and then we're going to turn the corner and look at the emotional wounds of Jesus. Perhaps you've never thought about all the hurt that came upon him from all the things that was done to him, even emotionally through the crucifixion. Now we know that the blood had to be shed, right? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or covering for sin. But I'm telling you, Jesus went through a lot upon the cross. Point number one, the physical wounds of Jesus. The physical wounds of Jesus. We're going to step through them for just a moment. In Matthew 26, verses 66 and 67, Jesus was before Caiaphas, the Jewish high priest. The scribes and the elders were there, but notice what it says in verse 66 of Matthew 26. It says, "What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Wow. Can you imagine the words coming from these ones that Jesus, as 100% God, knew them intimately, knew all about them, had even created them and formed them in the womb. And here they are saying, you know what? He's guilty of death. And it says, "Then they spit in his face and buffeted him, beat him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands." I'm sure that hurt. Other physical wounds of Jesus before Pilate in Matthew 27, verse 26, notice what it says. It says, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, He delivered him to be crucified. I've heard a lot said about the cat of nine tails. It was a whip, and it had nine different parts to it, or segments of the leather. And they'd put bone, and they would put glass or pottery and things like that. It would just hit the flesh, and when it was pulled back, you can imagine the pain, the physical pain that he went through. In Matthew 27, verse 29, in the common hall among the Roman soldiers, notice what it says in verse 29. It says, "And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.'" Now, believe me, when they made that crown of thorns, it was not to be something pretty. It was to inflict pain. And when they put it upon his head, I'm sure it wasn't just lightly put, you know, "Oh, we don't want to hurt Jesus." These were the Roman soldiers in the common hall. I think they crammed it down on his head. Also in the common hall, look at verse 30, chapter 27 and verse 30. It says, "And they spit upon him and took the reed that they gave him, mocking him as king, and took that reed and then smacked him on the head." I'm sure that hurt. I'm sure they weren't really careful about that. They knew that he was going to be crucified and he was going to suffer the worst death that you could that you could experience. The Romans, this had been around for a long time, but the Romans perfected the crucifixion to make it as agonizing as possible. You see, Jesus went through a lot with the physical wounds that he experienced. Also in the common hall, look at verse 31 of chapter 27. It says, "And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him." You know, they put a robe on him and bowed down before him as king. But, you know, that was sitting there, and there was open wounds already. And when they put it on, didn't they tear that off of him? Imagine the pain, the physical pain. Also in Matthew 27, 35, it says, "And they crucified him." You know, just simple four words, but boy, what did that encompass? Well, there were nails in his wrists. Then there were nails through his feet. And can you imagine? One of the big problems with crucifixion was simply being able to breathe. And you'd have to pull basically on the nails to pull yourself up to get enough breath. Again, it was the worst form of torture known to man at that point. So I don't want to overlook the physical wounds of Jesus, but secondly, what about the emotional wounds of Jesus? I want you to think about this as we look at these various ones. The emotional wounds of Jesus. Point number two. What about Judas's kiss? What about his kiss? Matthew 26, verses 47 to 50. Matthew 26, verses 47 to 50. What about Judas's kiss? Do you think that hurt Jesus emotionally? It says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas," Jesus spake, "lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, 'Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast.' And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, 'Hail, Master,' and kissed him." I mean, can you imagine the kiss of a betrayer? Now, Jesus knew that Judas was a betrayer, right? He knew that the devil had put it within him. He was not a true follower of Jesus. Jesus knew all about it, but yet Judas was made in the image of the Lord, right? And don't you think Jesus, the Savior, loved him? Absolutely. So how much did that hurt emotionally? "Hail, Master," and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, verse 50, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. The emotional wounds of Jesus. First of all, Judas's kiss. But, you know, what about the words that were spewed out at Jesus? And there's a bunch of words. We're going to look at them really quickly. But imagine the
one who created all that is, the God of the universe. He is, right? Hearing all of these hurtful words coming at him. First of all, what about the words of the false witnesses in Matthew 26? In Matthew 26, verses 59 to 63. You know, when Jesus was before Caiaphas, the high priest, they were trying to find witnesses to testify against Jesus. And it says, now the chief priest, verse 59 of chapter 26, notice these false witnesses. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Is that true? Now, he did say that, but he was speaking of his body. And they're saying, you know what? He's going to tear down the temple. False witness. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Now, Jesus knew he was going to die upon the cross, right? And Jesus even loved these false witnesses. But hearing words that were misunderstood against him, do you think that would hurt him? What about in verse 65 of Matthew 26? Caiaphas, the high priest. Notice what word he used in verse 65. It says, then the high priest rent his clothes and says, he has spoken blasphemy. I mean, who is a religious leader, even if he's called high priest, to tell Jesus that he's speaking blasphemy? Do you think that hurt him? What about in verse 68 of Matthew 26, the scribes and the elders? Notice what it says in this verse, verse 68. It says, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? You know, as the scribes and the elders were there, and they said, you know, who are you? You're guilty. They spit on him. They buffeted him, smote him with the palms of their hands. They said, well, tell us, prophesy, who hit you? Do you think those words hurt the heart of Jesus, if you will? But also, what about Peter's denial? Peter's denial. I'll read you just a verse. You don't have to turn there in just a moment. But, you know, Peter denied the Lord 3 times, right? 3 times. In Luke chapter 22, verse 61, it records, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. I mean, what made Jesus turn and look at Peter? I think those words still hurt Jesus. Again, he was 100% God, but he was 100% man as well, or human. And that hurt his heart. What about the multitude in Matthew 27? Notice what it says in Matthew 27, verse 21, 22, and 23. Now here's the governor, this would be Pilate, answered and said unto them, to the crowd, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Now did Jesus know who Barabbas was? Did he know what he had done? Absolutely. A thief, a murderer. He probably deserved to die a crucifixion death, right? But in this, they answered Barabbas. Verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? This had to be devastating to Jesus. They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried the more, even louder, saying, let him be crucified. You know, that's like the creature telling the creator that he deserves to die. Wow, that had to hurt, don't you think? What about the Roman soldiers in the common hall? In verse verse 29 of chapter 27. It says, and when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! Totally in mocking him. Verse 31, after they had mocked him. You see, these words were very hurtful to Jesus, don't you think? The seventh, that is, place where words would have been very hurtful, those that pass by the cross. Those that pass by the cross. Now, we're not going necessarily chronologically. We're looking at specific ways that Jesus was emotionally hurt. But what about the people that passed by the cross? In Matthew 27, verses 39 and 40, notice it says, and they that passed by, what did they do? They reviled him. They said all kind of mean things about Jesus. And they even, it says, wagging their heads. Did that hurt the Lord? And saying, thou that destroyest the temple. You know, you say you're going to destroy the temple and raise it back up. He was speaking of his body, and that's exactly what happened, absolutely. And buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself. Notice this. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. What about the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders? In chapter 27, verses 41, 42, and 43, notice, it says, likewise also the chief priests, what were they doing? They were mocking him with the scribes and elders. They said something similar. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have, notice this, if he will have him. They're basically putting a big gulf between Jesus, and he can't be right with God. And, you know, if he'd even have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. If that wasn't enough for those passing by and the chief priests, the scribes, what about the thieves on the cross? The one on the left and the one on the right. What about their words? In Matthew 27, verse 44, it says, the thieves with him cast the same in his teeth. They were saying the same type of thing. If you're God, get off the cross. If you're the Son of God, surely you can rescue you. They were mocking him as well. You know, the emotional wounds of Jesus. I know that Jesus' kiss hurt a lot. And I'm sure that the wounds of these words hurt a lot. But thirdly, the emotional wounds of Jesus. Judas's kiss, the words that were... What about spitting in his face? Spitting in his face. Before Caiaphas, the scribes and elders were there. Notice in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Look at verse 66 and 67. It says, what think ye? They answered and said, he's guilty of death. Then it says in verse 67, then did they spit in his face. This is the scribes and the elders, those who were supposed to be representing and being leaders spiritually of these people, but they spit in his face. It also says in Matthew 27 and verse 30, Matthew 27 and verse 30, notice it says, when the Roman soldiers were there, notice what they said and what they did. It says in verse 30, and they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. I don't know. One of the worst forms of disrespect is to spit at someone. Can you imagine? And if there was a number of them spitting on someone, I mean, I'm not meaning to gross you out or anything, but that would be pretty gross, don't you think? And this is the Son of God, and he's taken all of this emotional abuse because he loves us. And he wanted to make a way for us to get to heaven. The emotional wounds of Jesus. Judas's kiss, the words, many words that were spoken, mocking him, spitting in his face, the elders and leaders of Israel, the Roman soldiers. But a fourth thing I think that really hurt Jesus was the absence of the apostles. The absence of the apostles. Now, John chapter 19 tells us there was one apostle. John was at the cross. But I believe all the others were absent. I mean, look at Matthew 26, verse 31. Matthew 26, verse 31. It tells us, "Then Jesus saith unto them," this is at the Last Supper, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." I mean, these were men that he invested his life in for 3 years. And then Jesus gets arrested, and what happens? They're scattered. You know, I really believe, and again, you got to think about this. As 100% God and 100% human, I think that emotionally hurt him. It's like, where are my disciples? Now, the God side knew that they were going to be scattered. But the human side, I still think, felt that emotional hurt. Y'all agree with that? Just give me a little nod. Getting kind of quiet out there. So the absence of the apostles, the emotional wounds of Jesus, not only Judas's kiss, but the words mocking him, spitting in his face, had to hurt him emotionally. The absence of the apostles. And fifthly, the stripping off of his clothes. The stripping off of his clothes. In Matthew 27, verse 28. Matthew 27, that is verse 28. This is the Roman soldiers in the common hall. Notice it says, "And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe." You know, there was an outer garment and there was an inner garment. And it appears that they stripped him perhaps of everything and put this purple robe. And then later on, the Roman soldiers, as they crucified him, notice in Matthew 27, verse 35, it says, "And they crucify him and parted his garments, casting lots." So can you imagine the humility of being stripped of your clothes? I think that would really hurt. You know, especially, as I've said many times, it's a good thing I wasn't Jesus. I wouldn't have gone through it. But Jesus, as the Son of God, loved us so much. He went through all the humiliation, all the emotional pain for you and I. The emotional wounds of Jesus, Judas's kiss, the words mocking him, spitting in his face, the absence of the apostles, the stripping off of his clothes, and the very shame of the crucifixion. It was reserved for the worst criminals. You know, in Matthew 27:31, it says, "And after they had mocked him, they took off robe off him and put on his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." In verse 38, we've already mentioned it a little bit. It says, "Then were there two thieves crucified him, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Just imagine to even be associated with the death of the crucifixion would be humiliating. I mean, that was reserved again for the worst criminals, not for the Son of God. Boy, how that had to hurt. The emotional wounds of Jesus, Judas's kiss, the words of mocking, spitting in his face, the absence of the apostles, the stripping off of his clothes, the shame of being associated with the worst criminals and the crucifixion. Next, the sign over his head. The sign over his head. In Matthew 27:37, and notice what it says. It says, "And set over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Now, it's true that that was true, right? He was the King of the Jews. And he is my King as well, but that cross was set up there, and most people used it as a form of mocking him. You know, okay, if he's the King of the Jews, why isn't he coming off the cross? You know, I think... the ones who wrote those very words above his head on the cross. You know, Jesus loved them. And yet they're doing this in a mocking fashion, even though it was the truth. And lastly, and I probably would say the worst form of emotional pain that Jesus went through was when his father forsook him. You say, Father forsook him? What are you talking about? Well, look at Matthew 27, verse 46. Notice what it says. In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You understand that a lot of people have been crucified, gone through the physical pain of crucifixion, right? But Jesus had, what made his even worse than any other, Jesus had the shame and the guilt of the whole world. And then in addition to that, now you think about that. You know how we feel guilty when we sin against God and we're like, oh man, I feel lower than, what, a grasshopper's belly or something like that. We say, I just feel terrible. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't. But imagine compounding that from every human being that's ever lived and every sin that we've ever committed. And Jesus bore the shame and the guilt of that on the cross. But then if that's not bad enough, it was so bad and so black and so evil that God the Father had to turn away from it. And that's Jesus experienced something that you and I never will experience. Do you think that hurt Jesus? I mean, I think about the very cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The emotional wounds of Jesus. Yes, Jesus had many physical wounds, and we never downplay that. They were horrific. They were terrible. Actually, in Isaiah 52, the latter part of the verse 14, his visage was so marred more than any man. More than any man. And his form more than the sons of men. So he was, the physical was horrific. Don't misunderstand me and leave tonight and say, well, the preacher downplayed. No, I'm not downplaying the physical wounds at all, but I'm hoping to turn on the light bulb and say, you know what, there was a bunch of emotional wounds that Jesus experienced as well. They were horrific. As he carried the guilt and shame and darkness and blackness and evil of the whole human race upon him that day. Things that hurt him emotionally. Judas's kiss, the hurtful and devastating words that were spewed out at him like venom. Spitting in his face, the absence of the apostles, the stripping off of his clothes, the shame of the crucifixion. Just being linked to the death of crucifixion was reserved for the worst criminals. The sign over his head, which although true, was put up as a form of mocking him, really. And then I think even the biggest part of the emotional hurt was when his father forsook him, turned away from the sin and the guilt. Now, as we have paused and remembered the death of Jesus on the cross, why did he do it? Why did he do it? Why did he go through it? Because he loves us.